Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest the next 2 hours is Michael Zalenti, and he is going to talk about something that should be important to every parent. And even if you're not a parent, I think that his views, Michael's views, are so important for everyone. And this is a very hot topic, a very important topic. So welcome to the program, Michael. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me on. That was a great introduction. I hope I hold up my end now.
Oh, I'm sure you will. It's you mentioned that about kindergarten being the first major experience. And I never went to kindergarten. My birthday fell in the wrong month, so I actually didn't start school until I was 6 and a half. But when I went to school, we learned about reading, and we learned academic kinds of things. We weren't indoctrinated politically, which is something that is it is being done more now than anybody can imagine, unless you have a child in school, and unless you're an astute parent who is actually paying attention to what your child is being taught. This makes me very upset.
It is very difficult to monitor this kind of thing unless you really do have the time and energy to be your child's advocate in school. It's sort of same as having an ill relative in the hospital. You know, you don't just leave them there and hope for the best. You visit, you see what's going on, how are the nurses treating the patient, are the doctors coming in. Well, you know, the idea that you would just drop your child off at a school and sort of hope for the best is, it just doesn't work. And you know, when we talk about indoctrination, in my view, there's really two elements here. I mean, one is official indoctrination, right? If you've got a textbook that says something that the parent thinks is incorrect or age inappropriate or whatever, that's one thing. But if you have a teacher, classroom attendant, whatever, you know, whoever the person is, who has a strongly held point of view, often that'll seep into what they're talking about, how they're conducting the class. So the textbook may be just fine. But if you have a teacher who has a distinctly liberal point of view, that's likely to come through. And in my experience, I come from a highly democratic and liberal family. I'm one of the few conservatives in the group. And what I find, with all due respect to my family members, is that liberals tend to be more sure of themselves and more willing to believe that they are right enough that instructing others in their views is perfectly fine. I think conservatives tend to be a little more circumspect and willing to acknowledge that other people might be right sometimes.
Correct. Now you have a book, and I love the title.
Oh, thank you.
It's Dr. Deplorable's Political Characters A to Z. And the other thing, and of course I have mentioned on this program before, that I do not believe in prayer at school, because, okay, who's going to lead the prayer? What are their beliefs? Children go to school to learn academic subjects, not political or religious views. So I'm very much against a lot of things that so-called conservatives seem to embrace, I really appreciate your views on this, but what are they learning in school that is so terrible? They are being taught they're not only being politicized, but their culture is also being altered. When you hear about young children being told that they can choose their sex and all the other things that are really just unbelievable. And as you said, a lot of parents simply drop their children off at school and hope for the best. But I think that times, of course, have changed, and parents used to be room mothers. I was a room mother, and I attended PTA. But now a lot of mothers are working. They're working full-time. They don't have the time to really look at what is going on in school. And the other thing is that I just feel I have questions about is that there's so many sports activities where the children are encouraged to engage in sports. Now, when I was in school, we had our sports activities at home. We'd get home from school, do our homework, go play basketball. But now it's organized sports. And who's it organized by, and what are they doing? It's time away from family. And I think that children are not learning family values, but they're learning things that aren't so valuable from sources that they are not monitoring.
Well, it's interesting that you put it that way. I think, unfortunately, it's because schools are each unique. It is very, very hard to draw any conclusions. Right? You back in the day, I think my father. I laugh about this only because, my dad was very strong on having my siblings and I go to Catholic school, and it became ultimately unaffordable because there were seven kids and my dad drove a forklift, so only two of us finished Catholic school. But my father, I think, had realistic expectations about what would and wouldn't be taught in Catholic school. And in eighth grade, I had a lay teacher who posed to us an assignment, which was write a book. Now, I was very, this is now my first self-published book. I never published anything back then, but I wrote a book. And most kids in classes, you can imagine, maybe 25 kids in the class, 22 of them handed in three pages, and it was like pulling teeth to get them to do that much. And then three of us just thought this was a wonderful assignment. We were going to write a book, and one of my friends had older sisters who were hippies, and his book talked about drugs. I mean, it was a psychedelic book from an eighth grader. I forget what the second person did. I did what I thought a novel was. I had no clue what a novel was, but I'd heard of them. And I had seen a couple of movies that were not aimed at little kids. And most of the ones I remembered were James Bond movies. And so I thought, okay, a novel must be sort of like a James Bond book. And I had... my hero was an eighth grader, and the Russians were taking over the school, and he was, it was actually very righteous, except, of course, he swore a bit, there was one mention of his girlfriend's sweater, and a few things like that, and I got an A, not surprisingly, because I did 25 pages, and I worked really hard on it, and my father got to see it at some point and was so upset because why was the Catholic school giving me an A when I was writing swear words? you just don't know what it's going to be. And I do think, a big part of the key is involvement if you can. It's just every school is different. And every teacher is different. And there's no, it's not like saying, give me the Cadillac XTS and we'll all be alike. You just don't know what's going to happen. And unless you're homeschooling, you have to guess at it, and you have to spend as much time as you possibly can talking to your children about it and getting a sense of it. And what my book is about is beating, I'm not so pro-conservative, anti-liberal, I don't want it to come off quite like this, but beating the liberals to the punch. Okay, your kids are going to hear things, see things on TV, hear things from their friends, schools, whatever, and that there's a pretty good chance that most of what they're going to experience is going to be things that certainly don't match your beliefs. They may be diametrically opposed, or maybe they're just off a little bit. And what I found with my children, I really, really expected that they would be very politically astute because I was a political junkie from the outset. I like to say, because it's true, that my favorite television show growing up was the Watergate hearings.
That's great.
I sat at home and watched those things. I could, you know, I can't do impersonations, but if I could, I could do Senator Sam and Howard Baker and Lowell Weicker. I mean, I just love that. And so I thought, well, you know, we'll wind up talking about these things, and that's how they'll pick it up. And the political questions just didn't come up. I had a brief conversation with my son one night. I forget how it came up, and I was proud of him because when I said that the British redcoats marched in single file and the American patriots hid behind trees and rocks and threw things at them, my son's response was, well, redcoats are stupid. Yeah, okay, that's good. That was a pretty decent reaction. But we didn't talk politics pretty much at all. And when they didn't join my wife and I watching, you know, whatever, I don't think Fox News was even around when they were first growing up. But when we were watching news programs, they weren't interested. They were off doing other things. And I was big on not pushing them into stuff. I figured it would happen in time. And then one day I found that they had politics, and their politics weren't mine. And it wasn't just a question of saying, oh, no, that's really wrong. Let me just show you what it is. You try telling that to a 16-year-old kid, you're not going to get very far. My mom used to say to my brother and I, you know, if I haven't instilled morality in you by the time you're, you know, 6 or 7 years old, it isn't going to happen. And very wise comment. So anyway, so the book was intended to be something that gets read aloud to kids. You know, I went back and forth. I had a what I thought of as a very sophisticated book, and I showed off all the things I knew. And then my wife at one point said, that's not a kid's book. And so I started running the text through readability analysis on the internet and you know, kind of thought through it again and scrubbed some of the verses and came up with different things. It's still not perfectly a kid's book. I mean, it's pretty hard to talk about gerrymandering to a five-year-old. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I did try to make it interesting enough and certainly fun enough. And I worked with a wonderful guy named Kyle Fleming, who did the illustration.
Right, which are really great.
Aren't they? Yeah. No, Kyle and I get along incredibly well. It was really a cool thing to sort of run into him. And I've gotten questioned on radio programs. The hardest question I have to answer is one you haven't asked yet, which is, what age is this suitable for? And the answer is, geez, well, I'd read it to a five-year-old, but then when they get tired of it, I'd put it away, and I'd pull it out when they're seven. And try, you know, because there are just things in here that, it hits at a bunch of different levels. And I think simply reading it, if you have an inquisitive child who asks you two questions on, you know, the 26 different letters, and you talk about those, that alone, I think, makes it, for my money, it would be worthwhile to have that happen, to begin political conversations, and then see where they take you, because children are willing to learn and want to learn from their parents, but you don't, if you're like me. I'm a libertarian at heart. I don't know if I'm a libertarian in political circles, but at heart, I don't think I should be telling other people what to do, what to think. And I wanted my children not to have me saying, here's how to live your life. It was like, let's see what you want to do, and let me help you do it, and let me help you be happy. And obviously, if you take a terribly wrong turn, let me pull you back. But, they're living very cool lives. I mean, they're in their late 20s, and they're doing neat stuff, and it's fun to watch them.
Indeed. It is it is really as you say, the book is wonderful, and we can go through it and okay, Brenda, Howie, Kim, and Angela.
I have no idea who they are. That's Kyle.
To my mom and dad for instilling in me the love of books. To Maureen for her incredible generosity and encouragement.
Maureen is my wife. Mom and Dad are who they are.
Right.
They're the ones that got, you know, just, I'm not sure how I was so in love with books, but they had to have been the ones doing it. No one else was around to do it. I love them. I had a hard time scaling back my collection as we moved from big house to smaller places.
I don't think I could move from my house. I look at all the books. I have two wall-to-wall bookshelves that are just immense. I don't know how I would part with them because each one means something to me. How do you, that's like choosing children or something. It's just, it wouldn't be good. But my father would always, my mother said, oh, your father always has his nose in a book. And so he was an example to me that there must be something in books that is very worthwhile. And I think that you can learn anything in the world from books, even things like cake decorating and things that you would think would need to have some sort of demonstration, or you would have to have some practical experience. But I learned how to do cake decorating by reading a book and looking at the illustrations and then practicing. So I credit books, all my books, with everything that I am or could be or would be or should be. I love books. I love books. It's
great. And you know, and the people in your audience who love them too, just they know where you're coming from. It may be hard to spell out exactly, but it's they're wonderful. It was tough. I mean, I partly what I did is we have a small vacation house that used to be far away when we lived in New Jersey, and now is further away, living outside of D.C. But I put a bunch up there for storage. But part of it was the realization that I got after a while when I started thinking, "Well, my kids want these things." My dad, who passed away quite some time ago, grew up in the Depression, right? So he saved stuff. He saved nails and straightened them out and used them again. And, we had a garage full of stuff that to most people looked like junk. And my older brother, Steve, and I took just diametrically different ways of dealing with my father. Steve one time said, "Yeah, what's all this junk? What do you got here?" And my dad said, I'm saving that for you. And I'm sort of this fearful kid, and I'm just like, "Okay, Dad, that's great." And say, "I don't want this crap." So, yeah, it just sort of depends. But I knew for most people, well, it depends. I mean, I understand that you do a lot of research, so it's probably different because you want to hang on to things that you've researched to make look again. But for a lot of books, I question myself. So why is that on my shelf? What is that doing? And mostly it's a marker, right? It's a little historical tag to show you where you've been, and which is great. I mean, but I realized there were an awful lot of books that may have served that purpose, but I knew to a certainty that I would never look inside them again. And I knew, having seen what happens at the garage sales, I knew that if I went before everyone else, they'd be sitting out there in a box, a buck for 50 of them or whatever. So I figured, let me call them down a little bit so it'll look like maybe these are the important ones. But it is tough. It is a little like giving away kids.
Right. Well, my grandfather was the pulp king of America during the 30s. His name was Arthur J. Burks, B-U-R-K-S. And he was an author. And he wrote a lot of books. And so I think it's a genetic thing with me also, that I love books because I have a family history of books and people who loved books, and they instill that in me, among other things that weren't so great. Anyway, we do have a quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, Michael Salenti. Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, welcome back. I love that song. I always hate to break in when it's playing. My guest for this part of the program is Michael Zalenti. He is the author of Dr. Deplorables, Political Characters A to Z. I love that title. And the website is drdeplorable.com. All righty. Let's pick up where we left off. I was talking about books and how important they are, but I hope my children feel the same way, because they're going to have quite a few of them. I think they know that. So you are concerned, of course, about being indoctrinated, and they begin so early. When children aren't thinking about political issues or sexual issues or any of these other things, and I kind of wonder, and you kind of implied it, that I'm not so certain that children should be starting school that early. And you mentioned homeschooling. What is your views on homeschooling?
Well, if you take a look at the letter C in the book, C is for competition, and mm-hmm. what the end line on the book Let me treat it loud. I'm quite terrible at this, so I may ask you to do a few. Not mine.
But sure.
I'll try it. In my head, I know what it sounds like. Seize competition, the use of brain muscle, to win market share in a free and fair tussle. Support the homeschoolers and charter school movements. Choice among schools will bring outcome improvements. And then you see a spinning wheel.
Right. Like Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune, but standing upright. It says, choose your school, and a mom and son are looking as the wheel is spinning. And there are many choices, public, home, private, military, boarding. I threw in clown just to round it out. But
sure.
Yeah, there are lots of choices. And I was lucky enough to study economics at the University of Chicago at right around the time when the other big schools were recognizing that the Chicago school folks, Milton Friedman and his colleagues, had been right. And they did, interestingly enough, they did exactly what's happening now with the whole Russiagate thing. Right? You would think that after years and years of chanting this nonsense that was untrue, you would think that there would be a little tiny period of apologizing or just saying, gee, we were wrong, before moving to the next thing. But I found out back when I was in college that it just doesn't happen that way. Print people, and this is quite literally true, I mean, it sounds a little ridiculous as I hear myself about to say it. People at schools like Princeton and Harvard and Yale literally laughed out loud at Chicago school stuff. It was like Chicago school was idiotic and it didn't make any sense. And then one day, it just, I don't know if it hit them or the evidence was overpowering, but one day they just switched. And there was radio silence on we were wrong for the last 20 years or we mocked you for the last 20 years. It was just, here's what it is now. And so it was a very cool time to be there because we were winning, right? And we had been the underdogs. And I was so terrible. I could have taken a class with Milton Friedman, and I didn't, because he taught a heavily econometric class, meaning lots and lots of statistics. And I was mm-hmm. not a math whiz. And I just, instead of saying glass is half full, I'll take a class from Milton Friedman, I said, oh my God, what if I got a C or failed the class from Milton Friedman? I can't have that happen. So I didn't. But I met him on a number of occasions. He and his wife Rose, another economist, would come by our dorm house for sherry hours, and they'd sit and talk to the students. And luckily for me, we played Monopoly a lot, and my board was the one in use. So I did get to keep it. I have a board that is signed Down With Monopoly by Milton Friedman.
Oh my gosh.
Cool.
Isn't
yeah.
that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. So back then, you know, the discussion about charter schools was really just in the incipient stages. And it really, you know, to this day, it's moved a fair amount, but, what I think has actually happened, the anti-charter school folks, which is basically the teachers union folks, have an incredibly smart strategy. I mean, I've got to hand it to them on the strategy. They are turning this into a one school at a time battle, right? So that every charter school is kind of going through a gauntlet and battling to get there, or anybody wants to put in charter schools, it's really tough. And what's never happened is no one has said, no politician has been smart enough to say and push through something where you would...
Mm. Oh, we do have a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Reaching for a dream of me.
All righty, welcome back. Our guest is Michael Zelenty. That's Zelenty. He is the author of Dr. Deplorable's Political Characters A to Z. It is available at Amazon. And the website is drdeplorable.com. And
So, Deanna, I pushed you through the break, which means either of two things took place. Either what I was saying was totally mesmerizing you, or I put you to sleep.
No, it's mesmerizing. it's good. Sometimes that happens because what the guest is saying is you just don't want to interrupt. Just how it is.
There you go.
Yeah. There's a lot, and you were talking about charter schools, and I'm just kind of up in the air about charter schools. And, of course, the Chicago, I live in the suburbs, but there is so much politicizing of the school board and this recent election for the mayor. Oh my gosh, what a mess that was. And you had people who were really, really part of the political machine, which has been going on for forever. You have the dailies who have run Chicago for such a long time, and then you had their political machine, which is still in place. And so,
Have you been there for decades and decades, or have you?
Since 85. So, but I live in the suburbs, but I do keep attuned to what is going on, and oh my gosh.
I was there during the winter that elected Jane Byrne.
Oh, now she was a very interesting person.
Yeah, this was when the tracks, well, Chicago had a terrible winter, and Mike Bolandic was the guy who took over for the first Mayor Daley.
Mm-hmm.
The real machine politician, and he put in place a 10-year plan to be ready for the next ginormous winter. Only it came in the first year of the 10-year plan, and nothing had been done. And so the tracks were freezing all over the place on the CTA. And as you know, as a suburban person, the trains all run from the wealthier suburbs and then go through the poorer neighborhoods and then get to downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And what the CTA was doing, presumably with Bolandic's knowledge and blessing, is they were picking up people at the beginning of their route, people who could probably afford to take a day off or had cars that they could drive into work, and they'd fill the trains to capacity, close the doors, and then ride through the poorer neighborhoods where people often didn't have cars and couldn't afford to take a day off from work, and drop the wealthier people off downtown. And Bolandic got on TV every night like Baghdad Bob and said, everything is fine. And you or I could have run, anyone could have run against Bolandic that year and won, but Jane Byrne was the one. So
mm-hmm.
that elected Jane Byrne. Bolandic was hopeless in that race because of the terrible winter.
And she actually spent time in the neighborhoods that you refer to.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly those neighborhoods have been targeted for drugs and all kinds of things. Chicago politics is just really dirty. It's pretty filthy.
That's another whole show or two for you.
For sure. But anyway, let's get back to your book. And B, you talk about B is for boondoggle, wastefully spending the taxes we pay for their schemes never ending. Don't trust their budgets or cronies. We warn you. Those high-speed train dreams may derail California. And so, which is what we were just talking about. And I often listen to AM 560, and I think sometimes that, well, okay, for instance, you have people who do not have children in school, who have not had children in school for decades, and yet they pay incredibly high taxes, property taxes, for educational purposes, which I think is not fair. I think that the parents should pay for their children's education. I'm not sure how that would be structured, but Sean Thompson, who's on 560, AM 560, talks quite a lot about this. And I kind of go along with him that because these high taxes sometimes cause such a hardship on older people that they lose their homes.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things that, and I'm sure that particular radio host has talked about it, at least on this issue, one of the more remarkable things is that the school budgets in every place I've ever heard of are voted on in an election that's separate from the general election.
Right.
You have all these people coming out and are able to vote on everything under the sun except for the school because, and you know, I think everybody who follows politics knows this. When the school budget comes up, they're teachers, parents of school-age children, and old people. And those are who come out to vote.
Right.
You know, but it's just, you know, it's sort of a rigged system. And, you know, I would have thought, I tend to have, you know, I look at myself as having terrific ideas and great insights, but I'm usually about 25 years too soon. You know, so it's like, oh yeah, this market is going to crash. Let me get out of it. Well, it lasts another 25 years, but I was right. I just didn't make any money with the stuff. I thought for sure that that our American system of education was going to get overhauled much more. I mean, it really hasn't happened yet, but basically, I thought it would happen much quicker than it has, if only because so much else hinges on it. Right? I mean, crime hinges off education just incredibly. When I think about what we learned about applying economic principles to different situations, it is so easy to look at crime and say, well, why are some people willing to commit crimes and others are not? And the answer in most cases is very sensible. It's not as though people who commit crimes are not being rational. If I go out now, I've been a lawyer for 35 years and sort of semi-retired, but still practicing. If I go out and commit a crime and get caught and go to jail, I will lose my ability to earn a living. I will lose my reputation in the community. There are a lot of things that I stand to lose. If some young kid who doesn't have good job prospects commits a crime and doesn't face a whole lot of things that he considers very negative as the consequences, well, he's being much more, you know, he's being rational and saying, okay, committing crime is not that big a deal. It's a big deal for me. And that's in part because I have this stockpile of education that is useful to me. I'm not about to abandon.
Of course. And a lot of children, people growing up in the in certain areas of Chicago, feel hopeless. They don't have the choices. And the other thing, too, which is another problem altogether, but you have the pensions and you have the salaries. Some of the professors at some of the colleges, not just in the Chicago area, universities, are $200,000. And they spend limited time in the classroom, and their pensions are incredible. It used to be that teachers were not paid very well, and it used to be kind of a profession that women went into, and kind of like secretaries. You always figured, okay, a secretary is going to be a woman, and it's going to be they're going to be earning a secondary job along with their husband. But now you have this huge pension issue here in the Chicago area that is creating such an economic situation for the whole state. People are leaving the state in droves because of the bills, the indebtedness that the state is incurring by allowing these huge pensions, which are it's incredible. More people would leave Illinois if they didn't have family or didn't have obligations here because of the economic situation.
Right. I mean, you know, one of the things that will probably wind up getting New Jersey straightened out, my home state, original home state, is its size. Right. It is incredibly easy to leave New Jersey because wherever you want to go is not far from where you are now. If someone in the middle of Illinois, to leave Illinois a lot of times requires a lot of mileage. And California is the same way. I mean, both of our children live, one is San Francisco area, one is L.A. And, you know, my wife and I would love to be out there with them, but we're not going to be the last person holding the bag on the taxes in California. So, you know, we'll do something else. But yeah, no, it is pretty remarkable. Illinois is a sad, sad case. I have, like probably a million other people, there are teachers in my family. And, you know, I will say, just check where you are. My older brother taught high school for years and still teaches at tutoring. And he's in Florida, and he said, you know, I double, triple checked. Florida is actually really got a good strong economy for the pensions. I said, okay, just keep an eye on it because for me it's an IRA and whatever Social Security does, and I'm not banking on Social Security to do much.
Right.
You have to kind of play this like you have to be smart and recognize that anything can happen, and sometimes things don't happen for a long time and then tumble. So
right. Who knew that we should all invest in Uber, right?
That is true.
So anyway, yes, it is really wasteful spending. So maybe the new mayor elect, I guess she'll be being sworn in the next few days, will do something about this. But it's much easier it's not very easy to backtrack and take away things that people are used to having.
Oh, sure. No,
it's just not possible to do. And this, the corruption in the city government in Chicago has been going on for decades. So it's not bound to change anytime soon. And of course, we also have the crime rate. The guns, and well, that you can't buy a gun in Chicago, but you have to go out to the suburbs to buy a gun and ammunition. But there seem to be plenty of guns to go around, and of course, anytime that you have crime, then you're going to have more control. And what they've done is they've taken away a lot. They've decreased the number of policemen in Chicago, and the others they've kind of militarized, so it just doesn't seem equitable to it's very unfair that they're decreasing services that everybody needs in order to pay these pensions that people expect and they've paid into. And then you have the CAFR, which is another story altogether. But anyway, let's forge ahead in your book. And certainly the things you said about California. Who would want to go to California? I grew up in California. But would I want to return? Nope. Not at all. Despite the great weather.
Right. So where would you like to pick up?
Okay, we did competition, which I love that wheel. And I love the illustrations. It really it does make for something that you could share with an astute child.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that was definitely the point. And basically, I hired Kyle from using Upworks, and as he put in his, it's sort of like Uber. You leave a review of your driver leaves a review of you. Kyle had about three lines. I mean, I get along with him great. He had three lines. One of them was, Mike knows what he wants. Which I took as sort of a backhanded compliment.
It is, absolutely.
I knew what I wanted for the book. And so a lot of the illustrations were things where I would say, I wanted to look like this or to have these things in it. Maybe a third of them were started where he would say, here's my, actually more than a third, I should be fair. Maybe half of them were things where he'd start with something and say, what about this? And I'd say, yes, but tweak it this way or that way. And there was a lot of just back and forth. So in one case, I wound up changing my verse to match what happened. Let me talk about that one now, because you might enjoy that as a radio person. If you go to L, L is for Limbaugh, talk radio hero. Execute.
Oh, yeah.
Flawlessly. Sorry, let me try that again. L is for Limbaugh, talk radio hero. Executes flawlessly, mistakes close to zero. Talent on loan from God, so to be fair, he lets half his brain nap while he's on the air. He's got the picture of Rush at the golden EIB microphone, and he's got a half a brain, which is drawn like a very cartoonish half a brain, because you don't want to be gross about it, sitting in a little easy chair on his desk with a tiny table next to him with a book and a cup of tea. Now, what happened on this was I didn't use the brain napping. I used Rush's own words, right? So it was talent on loan from God. something something with an ACK ending, and he has half his brain tied behind his back, right? So I used almost entirely his fun little quotes that sillier people take seriously, where he's just, you know, being funny.
Right.
And Kyle, after a number of tries, came back to me and said, I cannot figure out a way to have half his brain popping out of his head and tied to the back of his chair without this just being grotesque. It just doesn't work. I've sketched. He said, I can't do it. And I forget which of us came up with that.
I think that illustration is great for L. Okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. This book is really, really good. Be right back.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and we are talking with Michael Zalenti, and his website is drdeplorable.com. He is the author of Dr. Deplorable's Political Characters A to Z. Now, I, believe it or not, when I thought I was conservative a long time ago, although I don't, anyway, there are people who really buy into this arrogant person, Rush Limbaugh. And his brother David is pretty similar. Talk radio hero. Oh gosh, talent on loan from God. And I love the illustration that you've come up with. It's perfect. The brain sitting there in the east chair. That's a perfect illustration.
That's great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, you must, if you like that, you must like K Street on the flip side of that page.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
It is one of my very, very favorite.
Exactly. And you have these, and this is really something that people, children, because children have a sense of morality that they would see the unfairness of what K Street and congressmen and what they're doing. You have people who tell you all these good intentions. They lie to the public and tell you what they're going to do when they get there. But when they get to Washington, all that goes by the wayside, and they serve term after term, and they make dough, which is what you said. And they are not; they don't have to follow the laws or accept what the general citizen has to do. They have their own Social Security program. Well, they don't even call it Social Security. They get paid for the rest of their lives. They don't have to accept the healthcare situation that Americans are roped into. They have special. They treat themselves as very special, privileged people.
They do. The insider trading laws are the things that drive me absolutely crazy. The idea that since so much of the value of various companies depends on what the government's going to do for them or against them, the idea that congresspeople and their staffers can trade with what is effectively some of the most remarkably solid inside information available is just mind-blowing to me. I mean, I was a securities lawyer for a lot of years. And the one thing you knew was the thing you couldn't do and the worst thing to do was trade on insider information. And these people have just said, go ahead, fine, make whatever. And so many of them go in to Congress with not necessarily a lot of money, but whatever they go in with, they come out with way, way more than could possibly have happened from their salaries. And it's disgusting to me. I mean, I think why I chose to write children's books.
We're at the top of the hour. Okay, we'll be right back, and we'll get back to K Street. Right.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.